who knows how many.
Are we there yet?
Through countless fixes, elbow grease, and a new radiator, you kept your ride alive. With eBay Motors, you have over 122 million parts to keep it running. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, they'll be the perfect fit every time. Plus, at these prices, well, we're burning rubber, not cash. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
If spring allergies keep you trapped inside, then you need Navage Nasal Care to keep you breathing clearly and enjoying all the beauties of spring. Navage helps clear nasal passages that are often clogged because of seasonal allergies. Navage gently flushes a pure, refreshing saline solution through your nasal passages to clear out congestion, sucking out that springtime pollen and other irritants trapped in your nose. Navage is available online at Navage.com or in stores at Walmart, Walgreens, CVS, Rite Aid, and Target. Navage. N-A-V-A-G-E.
You're listening to WRDN, 1430 AM, Durand, Mondovi, Wabasha, and 107.3 FM at Translator W297CH, Durand.
ABC News. I'm Derek Dennis. More potential trouble for movie mogul Harvey Weinstein. Prosecutors sending a letter to the judge in Weinstein's upcoming retrial on sex crimes, accusing his attorneys of trying to intimidate witnesses and attack their credibility in public statements. It's likely too late to beat the Memorial Day holiday travel rush. Airports and roads are packed.
Now, if you're hitting the road, timing is key. According to INREX, you'll want to avoid today between noon and 7 p.m. Instead, aim for early mornings or late evening drives. Sunday and Monday afternoon are also expected to be busy, so plan accordingly.
ABC Stephanie Ramos in the air. 3.5 million travelers are flying for the holiday, the most in almost 20 years. The International Court of Justice has ruled Israel must immediately halt its military operation in Rafah, citing the risk to Palestinians. A panel of 15 international judges making that determination. Experts say Israel is unlikely to comply. This is ABC News. They were once a staple of many American cities, but now many Chinatown neighborhoods are beginning to disappear as costs rise and demographics change.
With rents on the rise and younger generations choosing to leave retail behind for other careers, the fate of many historic businesses in jeopardy. From 2019 to 2021, Manhattan's Chinatown saw a 26% drop in job opportunities. But it's not just the businesses. Between 1990 and 2020, Washington, D.C.'s Chinatown lost 41% of its Asian population. Philadelphia lost 15%. San Francisco, 6%.
ABC's Andrea Fujii. Some iPhone users could get up to $350 in a proposed $35 million class action settlement with Apple. The lawsuit claims iPhone 7 and 7 Plus models had audio issues. Customers who want to be included in the potential settlement must submit a claim by June 3rd. Apple denies the phones were faulty. I'm Derek Dennis, ABC News.
Shop the Sherwin-Williams Memorial Day Sale and get 30% off paints and stains from May 24th through June 3rd. With prices starting at $34.29, it's the perfect time to transform your space with color. Whether you're looking to revamp your bedroom, living room, or home office, we have you covered with bold hues, soothing neutrals, and everything in between. Shop the sale online or visit your neighborhood Sherwin-Williams store. Retail sales only. Some exclusions apply. See store for details.
When you use Bounce dryer sheets and your clothes look amazing, it's the sheet. Less static in your life? Yeah, it's the sheet. Smelling fresher than ever? It's the sheet. Oh, so soft fabric? Ooh la la. It's the sheet. Less wrinkles on your clothes? You know it's the sheet. Bounce dryer sheets. More freshness, more softness. Less static, less wrinkles. It's the sheet.
Wisconsin Radio Network News, I'm Ted Aylin. More tornadoes are confirmed from Tuesday's storms across Wisconsin. National Weather Service confirmed Wednesday a tornado in the Trempealeau County city of Arcadia hit the ground for a minute. An hour and a half later, an EF1 twister in Kaukauna was on the ground for 4 minutes. The latest confirmations bring the total number of tornadoes from Tuesday's storm in the state to 6. Earlier in the day, the Weather Service confirmed tornadoes in the central Wisconsin communities of Edgar and Unity, as well as in Cochrane and Fountain City, both in Buffalo County along the Mississippi River. As we head into Memorial Day weekend, you may want to consider new research on alcohol consumption.
New research shows the safest amount of alcohol is
none, with consumption tied to various cancers. Dr. Noel Leconte is an oncologist and associate professor of medicine at UW-Madison.
Alcohol is metabolized in our body to a compound called acetaldehyde, which is a known carcinogen.
Leconte's advice is straightforward.
Don't start drinking if you don't do it now, and if you are drinking and you want to cut down, talk to your doctor first.
The Manitowoc native says she loves Wisconsin, but believes we can do better. Bob Haig, Wisconsin Radio Network.
What's believed to be wreckage of a plane flown by a Wisconsin World War II flying ace has been discovered in the South Pacific. Poplar native Richard Bong shot down 40 Japanese aircraft in a Lockheed P-38 Lightning fighter nicknamed Marge after Bong's girlfriend. A Veterans Historical Center in Superior, named in Bong's honor, teamed with World War II Historical Preservation Group Pacific Rex to search for Bong's plane, which crashed in the jungles of Papua New Guinea while another pilot was at the controls. The expedition's leader announced last week his team discovered the plane's wreckage. You're listening to Wisconsin Radio Network News.
NTEC is constantly evolving to bring you the very best communication services. Our high-speed, high-quality internet, voice, and video services help you make the connections that matter. We may have a new look, but we're still the same local provider you know and love right here in Durand. NTEC grows and changes as you do, so we can always meet your needs. Visit ntec.net to learn more. That's ntec.net.
Here's your Real Country 1430 forecast.
I'm meteorologist Brittany Merlot. Cloudy today with high temperatures tapping 70 degrees. Waves of showers and thunderstorms will move through this afternoon and evening, bringing heavy downpours of a half an inch of rainfall, and some could be severe, packing gusty winds and some hail. Grandpa's barbecue sauce, made in small batches from Grandpa's original recipe. Get yours now at grandpasbbqshop.com. Currently, it's 68.
The grain markets pushed up into the Memorial Day weekend with speculators exiting short positions in most of the markets throughout the week, for that matter. Cotton had a great week, but was lower today. Live cattle are watching a red-hot cash cattle market, and lean hog futures are stuck in a downstream drift to lower prices.
Live from the final unofficial laps of official non-calendrical spring via Farm Journal Studios, this is AgriTalk. This afternoon, we'll chat with Mike Miner from Professional Ag Marketing. I'm handsome newsman Davis Michelson. Hello. Hi. Now here's the host of AgriTalk, Chip Flory.
All right, Davis, thank you so much. Yeah, here we are, end of the week, heading into a three-day weekend.
That's right. That's right.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Seems like a perfect time, just an absolute perfect time to be giving the cattle market some news that it probably really isn't too happy about getting. Mm-hmm. And I am not talking about the cattle on feed report, which, let's hit that real quick.
By the way, we had that too, didn't we?
Yeah, we had that too. Let's hit the cattle on feed report. Welcome. I'm Chip. That's Davis.
Hello. Hi, everybody.
Let's hit the cattle on feed report real quick. Total number of cattle on feed on May 1 down 0.86%.
I was going to say.
The trade was looking for a 0.8% decline, so right in line.
Wow.
Placements down 5.8%. The trade was looking for a 6.1% decline. Again, right in line. Mm-hmm. Marketing's up 10.1%. Trade was looking for an increase of 9.8%. Also in line with trade expectations. I'm not going to take – we'll check with Mike, with Mike Miner from Professional Ag Marketing here in just a moment on what he thinks about this cattle on feed report. But Reuters has just reported that bird flu virus particles were found in tissue samples taken from one dairy cow sent to slaughter at a U.S. meat processing plant, but none of the virus was detected in samples from 95 other cattle. That's according to USDA.
Okay.
Meat from the animal was prevented from entering into the nation's food supply. agriculture and health officials have scaled up testing. And they will continue to test more aggressively for the H5N1 virus in beef. In beef. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Just simply be, you know, and finding it from one is kind of evidence or proof that the process works. So,
well, let me just take a moment and clarify that I've heard what you said correctly. A sample from a dairy cow in the slaughter system was found. Right. Not a beef cow.
No.
But a dairy cow that was being processed for beef, right?
Correct.
Okay.
Correct. That's how I read it.
I gotcha. Yeah.
That's how I read it. But you know that it's hard to tell the difference between dairy beef and beef when it's all wrapped in white paper.
Well, that's true. You got to unwrap it and grill it up first. Sounds like a challenge.
Is that when you figure it out?
Accepted, sir. Let's do
this. All right. Welcome to AgriTalk. Boy, we got lots of news straight out the chute for you.
Yeah, man.
All right. Let's go ahead and get to the markets.
Okay, hard red winter and spring wheat futures finished the week with solid gains, while soft red winter wheat futures spent most of the day under light pressure. July SRW did trade on both sides of $7 for a fourth consecutive week, but the contract did close well below this week's high. Expectations of a big soft red winter wheat harvest in the U.S. limited buying interest for the second half of the week. July HRW futures spent most of the day on the plus side of unchanged and pushed higher in late trade to close near the high of the week. Declining crop expectations for Russia and Ukraine limited selling in the hard wheats. July HRW wheat futures were 10.5 higher, 721 and a quarter. July SRW wheat down 0.75, 697 and a quarter. July spring wheat closed at 752 and 0.75. That's up 8.75 cents.
Soft red winter wheat futures did not want to rally today, did not want to move higher with the hard wheats, either the hard red winter or hard red spring wheat. Kind of was an early was an anchor on what was happening in the corn market as well. But July SRW wheat futures on the week up 46 cents.
Wow.
You know, maybe it was due for a little bit of profit taking, I guess. July HRW wheat up 59.5 cents, and July spring wheat up 41.25.
Well, chip corn futures opened fractionally higher and closed back at the opening range while posting an inside trading day. After a big rally on Monday, corn futures fought to hold on to those gains and slowly built upside momentum. Short covering by professional trading funds provided much of the support for corn prices. More Midwest rains provided some fundamental support for corn prices, although many crop watchers are reluctant to build in yield or acreage losses at this time. There is more rain in the forecast for the weekend. Traders will reassess crop potential with the flip of the calendar to June. July corn futures were 0.75 cents higher at 4.64 3/4. September corn up 1.25 cents to 4.74 1/2. December corn futures closed at 4.88 1/4. That's up 1.75 cents, Chip.
Yeah, corn planting isn't all that late yet, but when we take a look at the forecast for next week, it's going to push the boundaries of lateness. There's no doubt about that. And that's going to get the market's attention, I think, next week. It had the market's attention this week. Mm-hmm. July corn up 12.25 cents. December corn up 11.75 cents.
Well, July soybean futures found tough resistance at 12.50 this week, and that is likely to continue next week. Chart watchers say a single close above 12.50 in July beans would open significant upside potential for old and new crop contracts. Strengthened soybean meal futures helped bean prices push higher today. July meal opened slightly higher and near session lows and closed solidly higher near session highs. Bean oil traded higher early in the week but gave up those gains. Planting delays are expected to continue in the week ahead and are expected to become more of a market factor in post-Memorial Day trade. July beans were 8.75 cents higher today, 12.48. August beans up 7.25 to 12.45. November beans closed at 12.19 1/2, up 3.5 cents, Chip.
Yeah, get this spread action. We had July soybean meal up $9.80 today, and we had July soybean oil down 24 points. That was today. Wow. On the week, July bean oil down 32 points. July soybean meal up $17.70. Wow. A ton. It was a big spreaders week. July beans on the week up 20 cents. November beans up 16.25.
Well, Chip, after 2 days of a massive rally, cotton futures posted an inside trading day with a high range open and a low range close. July cotton today, 120 points lower at 80.52. Some big ups this week in the cottons, but lower today.
Yeah, but a big week, up 463 points. Hey.
Boxed beef prices were higher again this morning on good movement, and that helped support front-month live cattle futures. Cash cattle trade this week widely expected to reach a new all-time high. June live cattle 17 and a half higher today, 183.70. August feeders a buck 22 and a half lower, 260.22 and a half. Lean hog futures slumped for a new to the move low to end the week. June hogs 25 cents lower on the day, 94.27 and one half. Chip Lorre.
All right, June live cattle on the week up $2.65. August feeder cattle up 37.5 cents. Not much movement there. June lean hogs down $2.22.5. Down 4 out of the 5 days this week. I was fearful that it was going to be worse than that for June hogs, but down 2.22.5. All right, Mike Miner, Professional Ag Marketing, is up next here on AgriTalk.
This is Andrew McCray, host of the American Countryside. I'm also a farmer and rancher from Northwest Missouri, and I hope you'll join me each week for Farming the Countryside as we take a look at the top issues impacting agriculture as told by the people farming and working in our industry. We'll talk about markets and trade, share some of the latest tips and trends from grain and livestock producers, and take a look at trends impacting rural America. Join me for Farming the Countryside on many local radio stations or on your favorite podcast platform, or just go to farmingthecountryside.com.
Is wonderful, and sometimes it's not. Cherish the good, but always be prepared for life's challenges. At Private Healthcare, we provide the peace of mind you deserve. With Private Healthcare, you'll get the coverage you want and healthcare you need. If your employer doesn't supply healthcare coverage and you don't qualify for Medicare or Medicaid, you need to give us a call right now. Private Healthcare is private health insurance for ages 65 and under with medical, dental, vision, and even prescription coverage. When life comes at you unexpectedly, you need to be ready, and health insurance is your financial safety net. Health insurance has never been so easy and affordable. If you're looking for health coverage at the best price and your annual household income is $35,000 or more,
give us a call at 800-801-2730. That's 800-801-2730.
I taught for 20 years, until I started forgetting my lectures.
Eventually, he had to quit. Getting his early Alzheimer's diagnosis was hard, but it gave us time to take control of the situation, together.
I can't imagine going through this without him.
If you or your family are noticing changes, it could be Alzheimer's. Talk about seeing a doctor together. For more information, visit alz.org/timetotalk. A message from the Alzheimer's Association and the Ad Council.
There are better known tractors in the world than Coyote. Ones with bigger names, longer histories, more popular hats, cute toy lines. But there's not a single tractor ever been built that's better equipped to do the dirty work. So we'll just focus on what really matters. Coyote, we dig dirt.
Dig some dirt with a Coyote tractor now available at Anabu Silo, Highway 25, Durand.
Wisconsin soybean growers have a lot of choices when it comes to selecting seed varieties. If you're a seed dealer, help make their choice a little easier by shining the spotlight on your products through the Wisconsin Soybean Yield Contest. By entering customers at the contest by the August 31st deadline, seed dealers will receive $100 for one grower, $200 for three, and $300 for five or more. Growers must complete an entry and harvest form to qualify. For more information, visit wissoybean.org.
The best talkers in ag, including you. Join the conversation on AgriTalk. Call us at 855-4-TALK-AG.
You know, Davis, live cattle futures have been so squirrely around the H5N1 in the dairy herd.
Well, sure.
And the risk of it getting into the beef supply that I'm not exactly sure how cattle market is going to respond or react to this. Again, Reuters has reported that, let me read it exactly, bird flu virus particles were found in tissue samples taken from one dairy cow sent to slaughter at a U.S. meat processing plant, but none were detected in samples from 95 other cattle, according to USDA. So, yeah, cattle market's got some things to sort out there.
Well, yeah, nothing like getting this news after the markets are closed ahead of a three-day weekend.
Right.
I don't know how to process this.
Well, it might work to the advantage.
Okay.
You know, give us a little more time for more information and to digest everything. Let's find out what Mike thinks. Mike Miner, Professional Ag Marketing. How you doing, Mike? It's great to talk with you again.
Yeah, great to be back. How are you doing, Chip?
Doing real fine, real fine. So this news, it broke after the markets were closed. What do you think? Might the market make a big deal out of this?
Well, I thought it was interesting how the other day you heard about the Australia news when they stepped in and announced that. It didn't seem to affect the market there either. And now that we got this news going into a three-day weekend, it seems like we're beyond the story for now, at least. I could be wrong by that, but like you said, it's going to be interesting how we act going into a longer weekend here.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, that's a good way of describing it. And it does a nice job of summing up how I kind of feel about this whole thing, too. You know, it feels like the market has moved past this story as well. Good stuff. Good stuff. What'd you think of the cattle on feed report? We had total number of cattle on feed on May 1 down 0.86%, placements down 5.8%, and marketing's up 10.1%.
Yeah, I thought they were very close to the estimates. I think for just a main bullet point, by the time we get through this weekend, I have a hard time seeing the trade really focus on this at all on Tuesday for the report. So I don't think there's anything earth shattering. It's hard enough for the cattle on feed report to have an impact, even when we have some substantial changes over a long weekend, the way it is in most reports. So, yeah. You know, at this point here, I don't see the report having a real big impact. Like you said, we were really close to the estimates there, and I think now we move on to some other things, but a couple things did catch my eye. Fed supply for August is way down from the placement number we had. That's actually 5% lower than last year. So that was interesting. And then also I think it's worth noting that when we look at the bigger cattle, they seem to get bigger. And that's no surprise, right? When we're looking at feed going down in cost a little bit in the DDG market or corn, and looking forward, it definitely shows some incentive for them to make these cattle heavier, Chip.
Yeah, yeah, it certainly does. One, and the packers are not backing off on the heavier cattle, and as long as they're not doing that, they're going to get heavier cattle. It seems to be the case. Cash market this week. And with what happened in the box beef trade, boy, there's not many signs of a slowdown in beef demand, is there?
Not yet, but I do look at it from a little bit different perspective. Because of the increase we saw in box beef, I think it was a lot to do with just the seasonal aspect of it. We saw some heavy buying ahead of this weekend. Last week, and now we set back a little bit. So that shows me that it's more of a just a seasonal bump and how we come out of this and watch demand going forward is going to be really interesting because really at this point, I think cash cattle wise, we're seeing something interesting there with cash cattle in the south only at 187 versus the north and the 192 north type area. Yeah. And that's a pretty big spread. Usually that should be like $3-4. It's starting to get pretty wide out there. So,
yep. Yep. Yeah. It's, well, and the heavier cattle are coming out of the north, and that's some additional proof that the packers are willing to pay up for those heavy animals. It's an interesting market, man. There's no doubt. No doubt. As long as we're talking livestock. Oh, these hogs, Mike, it just is, it's you know, the beatings are going to continue until morale improves, I guess.
Yeah, so when I look at it, I think fundamentally the futures are going with the fundamentals and correcting itself. We're getting a little bit more normal to where the index is. You know, it's only about a $2.50 spread now. You know, normal's closer to probably $2 spread, and the market's really been correcting that. I mean, just a couple weeks ago, that was $11 between the two. So at this point, we're getting a little bit of a fundamental correction. I mean, by the time you get that June contract into the lower 90s here, we spent a ton of time in this area back in the fall, and I think there could be some good support down here now. So we'll see if we can get this market excited again here headed into the summer chip for a couple weeks, usually led by the cash market there for a while.
Yeah, yeah. I don't see how demand is going to let us down on pork. I had a text conversation, a really cool text conversation with a listener last night. He stopped and bought some steaks, and he stopped and bought some pork chops. The steaks cost him $30 for the pair. The pork chops, which were big, thick, bone-in, delicious chops, $5.99 is what he spent on the pair. $5.99 versus $30 on the steaks. I don't know how pork demand can let us down, Mike.
Well, it really makes me think about the time of the year, right? This time of the year, you talk about grilling steaks. At the end of the summer, you talk about grilling hot dogs, just from a seasonal perspective. Yeah. And, you know, we had a really nice cutout all the way through the winter. It was great weather, 14 degrees above normal temps for February for Minneapolis, for example. When you start talking about that demand for choice starting earlier in the year, I wonder if we'll start to transition towards some of those cheaper meats earlier in the summer this year, Chip.
Okay. All right. Good. Let's get this grain conversation started. Dude, some farmers are getting a little frustrated with the way that their crop looks, with the seed that's still sitting in the shed, and the way the corn market is performing. Do you think that frustration is warranted at this point?
A little bit, and it's tough. From a strict numbers perspective, you're not going to see the whole story. I don't think, you know, we're 70% planted. 76% was last year's progress, 71% on a five-year average. So we're really right in that range. We're right where we should be after huge progress last week. And now you see what's happened, especially after last night, you know, spots of Omaha, everywhere throughout Iowa. We're already talking replant in a lot of areas. And now after this, now we're really going to have some stuff to think about here. So I'm having a problem comparing it to something like 2019, though, because at this time we were only 50%. And it just feels a lot different. We started off with really no water table in a lot of the corn belt. So we were able to finish planting even after we caught some pretty heavy rains this time. And, you know, as we look forward, I think it's really interesting that when I look at counties that are still technically in the drought map after yesterday, like Marshall County in Iowa, for example, mm-hmm. I got a picture of a complete cornfield covered in water. It looked like a lake yesterday. And technically that county Thursday, that was still in a drought. It had stage one and two going on. So it's, you know, 10% is even a stretch to have for corn production located within a drought in the United States. And last year in June, it was 70% of the corn production was located in a drought. So at this point, it's very hard, we've realized over history, for the funds to get excited about too much water. So I feel like they wanted to make that transition so bad to talking about the forecast and rain makes grain, you know, kind of after we got this last WASD report, kind of after we talked about planning progress picking up. And now with this, it really throws a wrench in it. I don't know how they're going to act, but I can tell you one thing, that planning report on June 28th, that's going to be really interesting with what they show on acreage.
Yeah. Yeah, and, you know, I want to talk about that a little bit more when we come back. We're coming right up on a break here, Mike. The planting delays that we have seen, it doesn't include some of that corn replanting that's going to have to happen. So I'm willing to say it's at least 25% of the corn crop is looking at a later than optimal planting date. So what might that mean for the markets later in the year? We got to talk about that. What about on soybeans? And we've got a bunch of demand issues to get to. We're talking with Mike Miner from Professional Ag Marketing right here on AgriTalk.
Need help navigating these markets or consulting for your operation? Let AgMarket.net help. Receive personalized support and market guidance from seasoned commodity brokers, transparent account access, education and strategy resources, live calls and seminar discounts, plus access to research. Interested in consulting? AgMarket.net is able to help establish a customized marketing plan specific to your operation. Head to AgMarket.net or call 844-4-AG-MRKT. There's risk of loss in trading futures under options.
Sometimes life is wonderful, and sometimes it's not. Cherish the good, but always be prepared for life's challenges. If your employer doesn't supply health care coverage and you don't qualify for Medicare or Medicaid, you need to give us a call right now. Private health care is private health insurance for ages 65 and under with medical, dental, vision, and even prescription coverage.
Give us a call at 800-801-2730.
Let's go to the markets page at profarmer.com and check today's closes, where July HRW wheat futures were 10.5 cents higher at 721 and a quarter. July SRW wheat down 0.75 cents to 697 and one quarter. July corn futures 0.75 cents higher, 464 and three quarters. December corn futures closed at 488 and one quarter. That's up 1.75 cents. July beans were 8.75 cents higher, but 1248. November beans closed at 1219 and one half. That's up 3.5 cents on the day. July cotton today 120 points lower, 80.52. On your livestock's June fat cattle were 17.5 cents higher, 183.70. August feeder futures a $1.22.5 lower at 260.22.5, and June lean hogs today 25 cents lower, 94.27 1/2. Get more. Go to tryprofarmer.com.
Farmers, is your stress starting to affect your work or your relationships? Feeling stress about finances or weather is common in farming. You're not alone. It can happen to any of us. From vouchers for in-person counseling to telecounseling from the comfort of your home, the Wisconsin Farm Center is here to help. If you're feeling overwhelmed, take that first step. Call toll-free 888-901-2558. That's 888-901-2558. A message from the Wisconsin Department of Agriculture, Trade, and Consumer Protection.
Efficiency is critical for your farming or dairy operation, so extending the life of your equipment, walls, flooring, and machinery by adding plastic liners installed by Osseo Plastics and Supply only makes sense. Plastic liners wear longer than steel and they clean up fast. The call to Osseo Plastics will save you valuable downtime and lower repair costs for years to come. Make the smart choice and call Osseo Plastics and Supply. Have them help you become more efficient with your money and time with plastic liners and resurfaced equipment and flooring from Osseo Plastics and Supply.
The Wisconsin Corn Growers Association has long worked tirelessly in the interest of today's corn industry. Because you're busy farming and raising a family, so we're at the table when you can't be. But like you, we can't do it alone. Our strength is in our members. Our strength is in you. Join us as we continue advocating for the American corn farmer. Visit WICorn.org and become a member today.
Here's your Real Country 1430 forecast.
I'm meteorologist Brittany Merlot. Cloudy today with high temperatures tapping 70 degrees. Waves of showers and thunderstorms will move through this afternoon and evening, bringing heavy downpours of 0.5 inch of rainfall, and some could be severe, packing gusty winds and some hail. Grandpa's barbecue sauce, made in small batches from Grandpa's original recipe. Get yours now at grandpasbbqshop.com. Currently, it's 68.
Opinions expressed on AgriTalk do not necessarily reflect the views of Farm Journal Broadcasting, affiliate stations, or sponsors. The truth is hard to come by these days, unless you listen to AgriTalk. Welcome. According to KWWL.com in Eastern Iowa, Friday morning's storm system classified as a derecho, Chip.
Really?
Yep.
Yep.
Holy smokes.
Says
that was
the storm's
this
Friday morning.
Mornings?
Part of what's classified as a derecho began in western Nebraska, moved east through Iowa and into Illinois. This is extended 600 plus miles. This according to KWWL.com.
All right. Well, I hope Big Apple Joe doesn't get blown away. He's over there. He's got a storm coming in. Well, he's getting heavy rain right now. He's got a storm on its way. There are severe thunderstorms just north of Danville, Illinois. Heavy rains through central Illinois. Severe thunderstorm warning coming up out of Clarksville, Illinois. Yeah. Yeah, I think that's right.
Yeah.
Clarksville, Illinois. And that there's a line of showers in eastern Iowa and southeast Iowa and northeast Missouri that all of that was supposed to have pushed off to the east by now. And it just keeps generating.
Yep.
Just keeps generating. Okay. We are in the middle of a conversation with Mike Miner, Professional Ag Marketing. Mike, the comments are coming in already. This from at MD56137. He says, Chip Flory, every pothole in southwest Minnesota is full. Top is off the yield now. I have some seed customers that haven't planted beans yet. To say that the top is off of yield because of the planting delays, I can't argue that. Would you? Now, the reason I'm talking to Mike about this is Mike goes out and does a hard look at the crops every summer, right?
Yep, yep. Yeah. We spent a full week, 2,200 miles across the U.S. This would be my eighth or ninth year doing it.
Right, right. So Mike goes out and takes a hard look at the crop. He's got some experience in doing this, some great experience in doing it. I can't argue with at MD about the top end of the corn yield already gone in some areas because of those wet conditions out there, right? The other thing is, and I meant to make mention of this at the end of the last segment, we can't forget that farmer after farmer after farmer will make the comment, and we've seen it, you lose more yield to too much water than you do to not enough rain. That's pretty consistent over the years, and I believe that. In a big way. So saying that the top end is off the corn yield, I don't think I'm going to argue with that, are you?
I probably won't argue it, no. The only thing I would say, so I'm in southwest Minnesota right now in Laverne, and you go north of us, there's potholes. We've had some replant done. You go south of us, you know, Beersford, Sioux City, they've got pretty much a whole soybean crop to plant down there yet. Pretty much any direction you go from us right here, you run into problems of some sort or degree. And so I'm not going to argue with that at all, especially if you have crusting or problems with things coming up. Your top end's going to be taken off. The problem I'm going to struggle with it is longer term here, and we saw it after 19. The grain market has such a hard time going lower off too much rainfall. Like, it resists it really hard, doesn't it, Chip, from this time of the year?
Certainly does. I mean, when you know, I'll go all the way back to 1993 with the flooding across Iowa and Minnesota. The market didn't want to believe it. The market didn't believe it until we got to November that the rain was causing issues and taking yield away. And it, you want to talk about devastatingly wet. That was devastatingly wet in 1993. We're not close to that. Not yet.
Planting soybeans from a helicopter, Chip.
That's right. I mean, it's got to rain until September for us to reflect the conditions that we saw in 1993. So we're not there. Not yet. So this conversation about the crops. What kind of an impact is that having on day-to-day trade in the grains right now? Let's start with that short-term view.
Okay. Short-term, I think it's pretty easy to see right now that with what you've got going on in the Corn Belt with this delayed planting and with some of these potholes, yield potentials, the market really keeps uncertainty in mind. And that's going to keep you buying corn on any breaks of 3 to 7 cents. And we've really seen that, I think. So in the short term, you get a little pullback. I think you find enough buyers to keep you floating higher and higher and higher and kind of keep this uptrend going on here. Does it give us enough potential to really go up and strike some of these higher prices? I still think we need more than that. But at this point, I think short term, it keeps buyers in the market on any short little sell-off that we've had. And I think you saw a lot of that this week too. And I wasn't surprised to see, like, after the WASD report, to see a strong sell-off there for a few days, find some footing around some really nice support levels, and then kind of work our way back up again. Right. I think that's exactly what the market needed, Chip.
Okay. Okay. Yeah. Good thoughts. Longer term, we get the updates on Tuesday afternoon this next week. In corn plantings, instead of being 1 point behind the 5-year average, all of a sudden we're, I don't know, 7 or 8 points behind the 5-year average. That last 10 to 15% is looking more difficult to plant than what it did as of today. What are your thoughts? Does the potential for corn planting delays become a bigger issue next week?
Next week it does. And the one thing we'll have to keep in mind with that report, obviously, is what conditions those are planted into as we mudded anything in, or if it got rained out or washed out. And then obviously what did get done at some points throughout this week through the Corn Belt. Because there was some areas that still got planted there, just not going to end up being the best quality. So the market's going to have to keep that in mind as they go through those numbers too, Chip.
Right, right.
That's what I'm kind of focused on out of that report on Monday. Upside here, I mean, I think you could start talking about fund money flow next with what the funds are doing.
Yeah, okay. I mean, it's been fun to watch the funds slip out of those short positions here recently. We've crossed some resistance levels. We've built some upside momentum. The funds can't be comfortable on the short side of the market any longer, I wouldn't think, Mike.
No, so going back to February 20th, we had 328,000 contracts of managed money short positions. So that was a substantially large position short in the market. And today we're only sitting about 69,000 short contracts, they would believe, around today. So 250,000 contracts covered. We put in 50 cents from the low to the high in the corn market in December corn during that time frame. So, you know, as you look forward and you look at any of these weather problems causing uncertainties, I mean, even if you go long a little bit and you start adding some long contracts, cover up the rest of these shorts, I mean, what are we talking about? Another 25 cents on this December corn market pops you right above that, 510, 520 type of area. And there's going to be a heck of a lot of farmer selling in between this point and that point, I think, as well. Mm-hmm. So I think those are some of the targets and some of the areas I think that we're really going to have to focus on a recovery through, as we talk about weather uncertainties and what kind of impact the funds can have here going forward.
You know, nothing would shake this market up like a shot of demand for new crop beans, though, Mike, because it has been terrible to this point.
Completely. I mean, when you say terrible, I mean just that non-existent out of China is really the way to put it.
Yeah.
Completely. It's disappointing because export sales for China being nothing, I mean, as of our old crop soybeans, they made up over half of our old crop soybean business so far. And then, I mean, really looking forward, this is the worst we've seen it since about 05 with China being gone. And Brazil's had a massive crop over the last couple of years, I think, which has played a substantial part in that. And personally, I don't think this is the end of it. I think when you start going forward, you start to talk more about the current trade war we got going on and getting more attention on that probably later in the year once we start to get past some of the supply concerns. I think that's going to play a bigger part in over the next couple of years to come, probably.
Yeah. Yeah, we're not afraid of talking politics in the morning hour of AgriTalk. We tend to stay away from it in the afternoon hour. But I'm telling you, it feels like rolling retaliation by China for the Biden administration's policies towards China, doesn't it?
Yeah, I would sure say so. And obviously they've had help because of the available supplies they've had from our counterparts down south. But I mean, if you look at their prices, you know, their soybeans on the July chart for the Chinese exchange, I mean, they've really been rallying since they made a low in February. Over the past 5 months, this is the highest price we've seen. And if you put that into a U.S. price, I mean, you're talking almost $15 a bushel equivalent to the U.S. for Chinese soybeans right now. So, you know, their soybean demand is looking strong. Their cash soybean prices are rising out of Brazil, and that's starting to make us look a little bit more competitive. And maybe we're going to see, at least out of the PNW, maybe we will start to see a little bit more now. But like you said there, it doesn't matter what president you have in there come in November. It seems like both are pretty much standing on this side, aren't they?
Yep, it certainly does. Certainly does. And we should mention that this week there was talk that China did step in and buy some beans out of the PNW. But what concerns me is that it's going to be a head fake like they pulled on us in wheat. And it's going to be tough for the market to handle that. Mike, good stuff. Have a great weekend, okay?
Thank you. You as well.
You bet. You bet. That's Mike Miner, professional ag marketing. All right. Davis and I are going to be wrapping up the week when we come back on AgriTalk.
Hey, I'm Andy. If you don't know me, it's probably because I'm not famous. But I did start a men's grooming company called Harry's. The idea for Harry's came out of a frustrating experience I had buying razor blades. Most brands were overpriced, overdesigned, and out of touch. At Harry's, our approach is simple. Here's our secret. We make sharp, durable blades and sell them at honest prices for as low as $2 each. We care about quality so much that we do some crazy things, like buy a world-class German blade factory. Obsessing over every detail means we're confident in offering 100% quality guarantee. Millions of guys have already made the switch to Harry's, so thank you if you're one of them. And if you're not, we hope you give us a try with this special offer. Get a Harry starter set with a 5-blade razor, weighted handle, shave gel, and a travel cover, all for just $3 plus free shipping. Just go to harrys.com and enter code FACE at checkout. That's harrys.com, code FACE. Enjoy!
If spring allergies keep you trapped inside, then you need Navage Nasal Care to keep you breathing clearly and enjoying all the beauties of spring. Navage helps clear nasal passages that are often clogged because of seasonal allergies. Navage gently flushes a pure, refreshing saline solution through your nasal passages to clear out congestion, sucking out that springtime pollen and other irritants trapped in your nose. Navage is available online at Navage.com or in stores at Walmart, Walgreens, CVS, Rite Aid, and Target. Navage, N-A-V-A-G-E.
At Progressive, we know money can't buy happiness. But money did buy your boat, where you find peace fishing, unlike at home with three teenage daughters. Because fish never argue about who stole whose crop top, or get mad the other fish used up all the hot water. No, they just swim around, never embarrassed to be seen with you in public. So save money by bundling your boat or RV insurance with home or auto from Progressive. And buy more happiness, or something close to it. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company affiliates and other insurers, not available in all states.
Need help navigating these markets or consulting for your operation? Let agmarket.net help. Receive personalized support and market guidance from seasoned commodity brokers, transparent account access, education and strategy resources, live calls and seminar discounts, plus access to research. Interested in consulting? Agmarket.net is able to help establish a customized marketing plan specific to your operation. Head to agmarket.net or call 844-4-AG-MRKT. There's risk of loss in trading futures under options.
The Scoop Podcast is where we talk about tight supply chains, emerging agronomic challenges, technology tools delivering ROI. I'm Margie Eckelkamp, editor of The Scoop and host of The Scoop Podcast. Join me as I interview leaders from across the ag retail sector. Farmers are working hard for every bushel, and their trusted advisors are by their side. Find The Scoop Podcast wherever you find podcasts so you are up to date on everything ag retail.
Sometimes I just cannot believe all the storms we've gone through here. I can only hope that we'll be able to leave this house to you one day, baby. You're our legacy.
Planning for these disasters will make sure we're safe and is the best way to protect that legacy.
Protect your legacy. Visit ready.gov/plan for the tools and tips you need to start your emergency preparedness plan today. Brought to you by FEMA and the Ad Council.
Sometimes life is wonderful, and sometimes it's not. Cherish the good, but always be prepared for life's challenges. If your employer doesn't supply health care coverage and you don't qualify for Medicare or Medicaid, you need to give us a call right now. Private health care is private health insurance for ages 65 and under with medical, dental, vision, and even prescription coverage.
Give us a call at 800-801-2730.
Cancer can feel like something we can't do anything about. But you can. There are screening tests that can catch cancer early when it may be easier to treat. Begin cervical screening at age 25. At 45, start colorectal and breast screening. At 50, discuss lung screening with a doctor. Find resources for free and low-cost screening at cancer.org/get screened. This is a public service message from the American Cancer Society.
Sometimes I just cannot believe all the storms we've gone through here. I can only hope that we'll be able to leave this house to you one day, baby. You're our legacy.
Planning for these disasters will make sure we're safe and is the best way to protect that legacy.
Protect your legacy. Visit ready.gov/plan for the tools and tips you need to start your emergency preparedness plan today. Brought to you by FEMA and the Ad Council.
You suffer from talking on the radio phobia? No problem. Send us a tweet at hashtag AgriTalk.
See, because I was thinking, hey, everybody, welcome back to AgriTalk. Because I was thinking, I used to drive that F-150, the full size.
Right.
And if you needed to change the tire, you had to get under the hood. Because
right.
you stick the little crank thing in there to,
right.
to crank down the... And that's where they store it, or at least
right.
in my model year, it was stored under the hood.
Yep, I
so
remember that.
So if you
that.
Wanted to lower the tire from underneath the truck bed itself,
yep.
you
got to
get that thing out and
you got to get
in hope
you get
it isn't caked in gravel. Yeah,
right.
I was
right.
laughing because I totally misunderstood because I would think, okay, my flat tire. Oh, I'll check under the hood.
Yeah, yeah,
yeah.
That'd be like
yeah.
if you ran out of gas and then you got like the you know the tire
jacked
crank.
Up.
Yeah,
that's right. Yeah.
yeah. Yeah,
that's
I'm, what are you
thinking.
Doing? I'm out of gas. What do you mean? You
got yeah. My oil is low. Bring me a squeegee, quick!
Somebody! Oh my! No, I'm gonna stop.
Yeah, man. Yeah,
I'm gonna stop. Here we are at the end of the week.
It sure seems like it.
Yeah, it does.
Yeah. What do you got going this weekend? You got big stuff. You already did your
tree
stuff. You're all done,
yeah.
right?
Well, you know, I all done would be would there's some varying levels of completeness when it comes. I think I lost.
Okay.
I think I've got a total of 6 trees mm-hmm. that have gone down this week.
Huh.
And I'm not one of those guys that's got to have a perfectly clean timber.
Okay.
Okay.
Uh-huh.
I don't yeah. mind. I don't mind some brush piles here and there.
Sure.
You know, for one thing, it's habitat.
The threshers love it.
There you go. There mm-hmm. you go. But, I, you know, it when it gets really tangled up and messy, I kind of like to get that cleaned up. Well, I've got, after this week, I've mm-hmm. got a spot out in the timber that is really messy, and it's going to need to get cleaned up. And then... I've got a line of pine trees. I've got a very small pasture, mm-hmm. very small pasture. You've seen it.
I've
like
seen
a
it.
Post. It's like a postage stamp up there.
Yeah.
But there's a line of pine trees that runs right through the middle of it. Why they were there when we bought it, I have no idea.
Yeah.
But there they are. I never cut them out. And you know, over the years, a couple have died. And but there's those trees, and they again, you know, it's habitat. When it's snowing out, the deer love it.
Oh, yeah.
So it's worked out. But the other day when I was out grilling the pork chops and the wind came through,
mm-hmm.
it snapped off 2 of the live pine trees that up in that
did
pasture.
It really?
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. So I've got a fair amount of cleanup to do around here before I can say that everything is said and done. But the good news is the tree that was leaning over the propane tank – has been cleaned up and put away.
Excellent.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's now, that's no maneuver.
I kind of felt like felt like that needed to get done.
That one makes a lot of sense to me. Yeah. Yeah. Because you're anti-explosion over there at the Flory organization, aren't you?
That's exactly right.
You say
right.
No to explosions when you can?
I do. I do. Mm-hmm. I am a frequent caller of 811 if need be. Mm-hmm. I'm not going to do anything that is going to result in a busted fiber cable.
See, that's not inexpensive.
I would hate to do that. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. I did a little tree trimming today too. I told you I had that one that's kind of hanging low, but it's hooked on, you know, by dead
hanging,
sort of branch material up above.
Yeah, it's hanging really low now.
I was out there with the dog this morning first thing, and I looked up at it, and I thought, I bet I could reach those lowest leaves there. Because it's probably 30 feet long altogether.
Yeah.
So I reached up, and sure enough, I could get one, and it kind of worked my way up till I had a little bit better grip and a little better grip, and it kind of started cracking, and before I knew it, it was in the yard. Here I stand.
Nice.
I'm trimming trees in my flip-flops and my robe. The dog thought I was a hero. Like, dude, look at the stick this guy got. No wonder he's in charge. So I kind of picked it up and ran around the yard a little bit, just to show off.
Right,
yeah,
right.
It was cool.
Yeah, it's very cool. Mm-hmm. Very cool. I hope the neighbors have got video.
I can't imagine what sort of video my neighbors must have just after a year and a half of being here.
Yeah, yeah.
It gets crazy.
Yeah. So, okay, over the weekend, I'm going to be thinking about planning delays.
Okay. Yes.
I am going to be thinking about how the cattle market is going to respond to this word that tissue of one dairy cow that went through a slaughter processing. They found the H5N1 virus in the tissue of that cow. It's one cow. There were 95 others that they found nothing. But I'm a little uneasy on how the cattle market is going to respond to that.
Yeah.
We're not going to see much price movement, if any, from the cattle on feed report. You know, the cold storage report was out this afternoon too. I have not had an opportunity to check that out or even to see much market reaction to it. But, the cold storage report was out as well. So maybe there's some market moving information in that, but boy, trying to figure out exactly how the cattle market's going to respond to this news from Reuters is going to be that's going to be on my mind this weekend.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. I'm thinking about, you know, Mike Miner did a great job. We haven't highlighted the conversation nearly enough here, but he shocked me by using the word replanting.
Oh,
dude,
no, yeah.
I mean, I get it. Droughts are cured by floods. Okay, I get that. It just really took me by surprise.
I hadn't put
it all together. You've heard about this?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Ken talked about it. Ken Ferry talked about it at the middle of the week.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah.
With some issues in central Illinois. But we're going to have plenty of replanting that's going to happen in South Dakota, Minnesota, far eastern Nebraska, in Iowa, Missouri. It may have gotten planted on time or even early the first time, but how do you factor in that late planting on replant corn? National Weather Service 6-10 day outlook, May 30th through June 3rd. Above normal temperatures, Wisconsin, Iowa, the western half of Missouri, and points to the north and west of that. Near normal to below normal temperatures in the eastern corn belt. We've got above normal precipitation expected through Minnesota, most of Iowa, most of Missouri, and points to the west. Near normal in Illinois and Indiana, and below normal in the far eastern belt. Happy Memorial Day, everyone. God bless you all. We'll talk to you again on Monday morning.
Retirement can be scary, but only if you're not prepared. That's why AARP created thisispretirement.org. Because unless you've already retired, you're in pretirement and you still have time to plan. Learn about retirement savings options, potential tax breaks, and how you can build savings over time. Visit thisispretirement.org for free resources to help you customize your action plan and feel the retirement fear disappear. Brought to you by AARP and the Ad Council.
Scammers often try to dupe veterans to steal the VA benefits they've earned. Scammers may try to obtain sensitive information or collect payments over the phone, offer to move assets in order to qualify for pension, insist benefits may be sent directly to a friend or caregiver, or promise to manage benefits or file a claim for you. VA will never charge you for processing a claim, and only VA can determine eligibility. To report suspicious activity, visit va.gov/OIG/hotline.
We all hear the radio ads about the IRS. They tell you to be afraid, to be scared, and they try to frighten you into calling. I'm not here to do that. Tax Relief Advocates is different. TRA is here to tell you that if you owe money to the IRS, whether it's $5,000, $50,000, or $500,000, we have a solution. It doesn't matter if you're sitting in your car, at work, or with your kids, no matter where you are, call now. 800-575-2706. Don't lose hope. TRA can eliminate or reduce what you owe to the IRS.
Generous programs are now available that can give you a fresh start.
Our passion is taxes and helping individuals